It's The Bill Murphy Show. A daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
With your digital broadcast for Thursday, September 2nd, 2010. Brought to you as usual by Lulu's Bait Shack. Fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks, live music, and of course the annual hurricane party coming up on September 4th, Saturday night. In a timely manner, I might add. That's in Beach Place on A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. Hello, L.A., as we are doing an L.A.-themed show today, as we welcome one of the local entrepreneurs in town and one of the most fabulous people in L.A. Lori Fredella joins me today to talk about her new project. Lori, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
You are getting all shy on me now.
I am.
You're claiming that you have nothing to talk about, and I know you do.
30 minutes is a lot of talking.
It goes by so fast, you'll have no idea. So she comes to us from her location that I just find fascinating, and I'm so pleased with how it's going so far. And we're going to find out all the details and want everybody to pull up the website that we have the link for right there. And that's actually the link to the Facebook fan page, and you can find out what mine is all about. And Lori's going to tell us in detail, as she is in Los Angeles as an interior designer, and I'm a very unique kind of situation you got going on there. Are you pretty excited about mine so far?
So far, I'm really excited about it.
Oh, I can tell. I can hear it in your voice. Talk a little bit about this. I want to get into the background about how you got into interior design, but let's just go right to what mine is all about. It's a fabulous name for the place. You're really actually, you know,
but it's three-tier.
Exactly. It's got it's a triple entendre going on there. You're using the mine reference, meaning it's a mine full of valuable items. You're also using the verb that you're, you know, it's sort of a mining expedition that you're doing, and it's yours. So that's why you call it mine.
Right. Noun, verb, pronoun.
Very, very cool.
Mine.
And as people are looking at pictures on your fan page there, and also the link to your presently under construction website, which still has some good photographs on there too. Talk a little bit about how you get these items that you sell there in your oh so hip part of town there. Where do you find these things?
Around. I can't give up my sources. I actually, when I opened this store, had a tiny little arsenal of good things. And I had some friends who really wanted to help me start the business.
Okay.
And not have a gallery empty, devoid of product.
So, but initially, are you talking about like stuff that, are you a pack rat, and did you kind of hang on to some stuff for a while and thought, maybe I could, turn?
No, I actually have a hard time parting with things.
Okay.
So I'll get things and I'll put them in a vignette in the store, and if someone is kind of interested in it, sometimes I'll find a way to talk them out of it if I'm not finished looking at it and enjoying it yet.
Good salesperson.
Aren't I, though?
Are you a scavenger? Do you go to, like, garage sales and yard sales and find stuff, too?
I do a tiny bit of scavenging. I have a few friends in Europe who find things for me there. I have a couple of sources here in Los Angeles that I will buy from. I'm not always the best scavenger just because it seems like I'm here all the time or I'm at a client's house.
Okay.
So I have about three or four people who know what I like.
Okay.
And what might work in the store. And for the most part, I trust their judgment, and they know when they bring something to me that I'll buy it from them.
And then once you see it after it's been obtained and you take a look at it, you immediately just start using your imagination as to how it can be used.
A little bit. Like I have a set of stamps from Belgium from the 1930s, 40s that are their maps of the world.
Oh, wow.
And they came in little brass boxes. Well, now the little brass boxes are just sort of a sculptural piece in the store, and I took the stamps out and I needed to fill space on the wall.
Hmm.
So they're sort of flying toward the birdcage that's empty and hanging from the ceiling.
Now, how about refurbishing stuff? Do you take things that have been beaten up and restore them? I would imagine that would be rather time-consuming, so you kind of...
I have people.
Oh, you have people. You're only a few months into this thing that I thought maybe you'd take most of it or would have to take most of it on yourself. You've had a bunch of people that you've been in the business with kind of standing by to be involved with you if you got into business like this?
I have people who, a lot of the lamp wiring I'll do myself. A lot of well, there are some things that I just make.
Okay.
It's almost cathartic for me at the end of the day to sit down and get a few vintage sockets and rewire them and put new cloth cord on them and hang them as pendants or off of a piece that I'm making. So a lot of times I'll find a piece that can be repurposed as a lamp stand that maybe was a plant hanger before.
Repurposed.
Repurposed.
What a great designing word that is.
I think it's the new hot designing word, actually.
It sounds
like we're
going
to come up with a new one soon. Maybe you can help me with that.
By the end of this show, we will come up with another one, I'm sure.
But not everything is vintage. Not everything is reused in some manner.
Right.
I have a few new artists and designers who I've loved for quite a few years, and I kind of think everybody else should really dig, too.
Now, the whole concept of calling the store mine and having the triple meaning going on there, the three-tiered meaning, as you described, and it just being ultra cool like that. First of all, it's so L.A., I think. My first instinct was that it was so L.A., but you're on Melrose, right in Los Angeles. You're almost under pressure there to be cool, right? Because the entire area would kind of drive you right out of the place if it wasn't, authentically cool. Did you feel any of that kind of Los Angeles pressure when you got this thing started?
On this section of Melrose, a little bit, but there's a gallery across the street from me, and the guys there were actually the ones who told me about this space. I got a text at about 10 p.m. one night, and all it said was, like, OMG, the place across the street just put a for rent sign in the window, you better call now.
Oh, I see. So there's a fine line between being in just the right cool part of town and not being in the cool part of town.
We have probably about 4 to 6 little design and shopping districts now. And it's not like shopping in New York, and I guess it's not like shopping really in Miami either. But here, everything is so destination-driven, really.
Right.
Because even if there's a store 2 blocks away, the blocks are fairly long, and you're still getting in your car to drive. So you may walk across the street or walk to a corner, but for the most part, you're still going to get in your car to...
I see. So you're not on your feet all day like you would be in New York, right?
No.
I gotcha. And speaking of that, okay, I'm taking a guess. I know you, I think, rather well enough to probably know this, but you're a Northeastern girl originally, aren't you?
I'm a Brooklyn girl.
I thought so. So the adapting to California, you went out to California quite a while back. I found a hard time... kind of blending into that area. Was it a tough adjustment for you at first? It's a lot different than New York and Miami, is it not?
I think most days it's still a little tough, but I sort of like the fact that people will come in and be like, you're not from LA, are you? You're from New York. No, I moved here from Miami 8 years ago. And usually the people who come in are not from Los Angeles either.
Oh, I see.
And everyone has a story, don't they?
Everybody's got a story. That's absolutely true. Because you stay multicultural that way. You have multicultural customers. You're not a native Los Angelian or whatever it is. And, I guess, like you said, it makes you relate to your diverse clients that way,
Yeah, and the clients are anywhere from New York to the Midwest here to Germany, Sweden, France.
Right. So it is sort of, in that respect, it's sort of like... being in Miami with all the different types of people
coming in. Yeah.
So it got started in probably June or so, am I right? A few months now?
July was kind of the official sort of the doors are open and you can come in.
Okay, so might be a little soon, but have there been any celebrity sightings in mine yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Do you care to share with us?
Oh, I have to stay tight left to that, sir.
Yes, of course you do, because it wouldn't be cool to be name-dropping like that, right?
I try not to, unless one of the names comes in and knows another name.
But
I
would
say, oh, well, so-and-so was in.
Right. Well, I would think that would be the coolest way to get the word out, is to have high-profile people like that show up and then spread the word about your show, because word of mouth is still the best method there is.
And they do. And in the venture I had before this one with my partner, we had one TV show that one of the actors came in and sent someone else from the crew in, who sent another actor in, and essentially by the end of it, we pretty much had sold to to the entire cast.
Yeah, and once you get approval from that crowd, then the momentum just takes off like crazy. So,
yeah.
All right, well, then I guess...
And it is, I mean, as much as it's... it sounds so dorky to say, but it is kind of fun. You know, it's fun when someone comes in and says, oh, well, I'm going to bring so-and-so back, and I think she should just buy this entire vignette. She should just buy this as her living room.
We're talking about Mine. I'm going to have to ask you about what the period at the end is all about. 6912 Melrose in Los Angeles. We're talking to Lori Ferdella, the proprietor of this business. Why is it Mine with a period at the end? Is that to say Mine like it's mine, period? I'm just making a statement?
It's a statement.
Okay.
Because if I were telling you to Mine...
Right.
That would be a sentence.
Oh, it sure would.
I don't know so much about the noun.
Right.
And then it's just a very definitive mine.
Right.
It's a possessive form of I.
Mine. Sort of like a na-na-na-na-na kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. It just, you cycle through all of these names and you're trying to figure out what you want it to be. And it kind of started with like just dig a little, unearth. Where do I want to go with this? How do I want to do this?
Right.
And I nearly put mine in the window, which would have made for a great website as well.
Oh, mine, right. Well, there you go. And speaking of that, the website is mine-la.com, but that is something that is still a work in progress, but people can keep...
It is. Well, I just didn't expect everything to start rolling as quickly as it did.
Right.
So inventory seems... There'll be a few links on there in the next few days. There'll be one that takes you to the site that has the inventory because it's through V&M.com.
Okay.
Which is vintage and modern. And they're a resource for... I think now they're up to about 200 vendors and dealers.
Wow.
In the U.S., possibly one or two in Europe. I think it's all U.S. right now. So they've got art and furniture, and it's a pretty cool site. They actually are on Facebook and Twitter. They're Twittering. They Twitter better than I do.
Okay, yeah. Well, and that's another thing we want to get into is us keeping up with this modern, hip, new world that we live in and staying relevant. But while we're talking about the actual store and your inventory, were you thinking about making part of the business online, and are you doing online business, and how difficult is that? I'm sure the biggest obstacle is shipping costs. But other than that, are you making stuff available online?
Absolutely. I think that in the last 2 months, half of the things that I've sold have either gone out of state or out of country.
And does that mess with your margin a lot to have to be shipping like that?
No, because the clients, for the most part, pay for shipping. If it's a huge piece and I can afford to do it,
right,
then I help with the shipping, and I have a couple of pretty good shippers.
Well, I guess people that are shopping online kind of realize going in that they're going to be, the cost is going to be substantially higher once you factor in shipping. So I guess that's just
certainly
part of the business. Yeah,
that's... Yeah, and my last store happened to be more lighting intensive.
Uh-huh.
Lights are a little bit easier to ship than, say,
sure,
a sofa, which is fine. It all kind of works out because normally if you're buying a sofa, unless you know the piece and you know the provenance of this certain vintage piece and you have to have it, for the most part, I think people are buying chairs and sofas somewhere close to where they live because I would tend to want to sit in something and make sure that I like it before.
You're getting some positive press already. Angelino magazine in their September issue listed Mine as in the best decorating finds of 2010. It's got to be
pretty cool.
Something,
yeah,
you're pretty proud of there. So you turn your finds into other people's finds once they get them in your place. So
right. And then what's mine is theirs or yours.
Right.
Even.
Oh, I guess you could have a sister business and call it yours.
I could.
Oh, that's something to think about, huh?
Mine and yours. This is when I go bi-coastal.
Right. So, okay, obviously you have an eye for decorating, and it takes a lot of imagination, and I would imagine an open mind, because from what I can tell, you're really kind of breaking down the walls between styles and eras and what goes with what. I mean, in your field here, there's probably a lot less rules than there are in traditional interior decorating. And would you say that's accurate?
I think that as a whole, now we're trying to do a little bit of both.
Okay.
There are certainly causes where someone wants something where everything is new or everything is vintage. But I tend to, whether I'm helping someone kind of put a few things together or shopping for myself, and that's kind of how it started. You know, you would find a few pieces that were brand new, or maybe, you know, your plates, you get new. But the salt and pepper shakers, you may find just a perfect little vintage pair.
Right.
And then it just gets bigger. You find a chair, and then it's the best chair in the whole wide world, but you're going to put new upholstery on it. And I think lighting was one of those things that there are so many just beautiful and important pieces.
Uh-huh.
That's an easy fix, because you could just have it rewired, or you can buy it in Europe and just have it
Americanized. Right.
Cut that little cord off. And
well, I guess lighting is a good example, too, because if you had some very, you know, hip, different styles of lighting, there's nothing wrong with them all being, you know, combined in the same room or the same home, you know, in different areas. So that kind of, you kind of apply that principle to your furniture and your other pieces too. So, right? I mean, that's what I'm seeing in some of the photographs anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, I have one vignette set up where there's a brand new sofa. I don't know actually if you have this picture, but it's a table light.
It's a table?
It's a table that's a light.
Okay.
And then, you know, one chair from the 40s, another one from the 60s with a 1950s table and a brand new lamp on the side table.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, it all just sort of works together because the lines are similar on those pieces.
I see. See, and this is relatively painless. We're almost done. We only have 10 minutes left.
And we have said nothing, or I've said nothing.
No, you've said plenty. I just wish that you weren't being so shy, because then people could see, could hear
because
how...
people can't tell how funny I really am.
Yeah, and how much more personality you have than what you're showing here. No, but that's okay. So the
this was almost a little last minute, and I've also, the space has been a little bit under construction, so I'm a tiny bit exhausted.
You are. Okay, I understand.
I'm not really making excuses for myself.
No, I know, and believe
okay,
me, you're coming across as much, far more charming than you think you are. So your interior decorating background, though, were you trained in this at all? Did you go to any sort of school for this, or did you just at a certain age decide that you knew you had a knack for it?
I just like really nice things.
Okay.
I had an aunt who was just in every way my mentor when it came to anything sort of cultural or decorating, and she actually had a Victorian house in Staten Island, of all places.
Okay.
Because there weren't too many Victorian homes there, and that was the first house that I remember. I think I was 10 or 11, and I shot every room and just wanted to learn what every piece was in that space.
Wow.
And I don't know. I guess somehow it started then, and at the time, my dad was a general contractor.
Okay.
So there was a lot of staying up with him at night and looking over the blueprints and trying to say, well, I don't understand why that's there and what is this? And when I went to school, I thought that I would either go into architecture or theater, because at 18, you know, you should absolutely know what you want to do with the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I did neither of those, and I wound up with a marketing degree because my roommate my freshman year was an architecture major, and I don't actually remember, or I don't even think that we knew what she looked like, because she was never there, and it was college, and I just wasn't sure if I wanted to put that much commitment into something when I was 18 years old.
Right.
And then my social life took over for a little while because it was college.
That's right.
And after I got out of school, I went back to Miami and dabbled in a few things that maybe had something to do with marketing.
Right.
And while I yet again changed my path in life and decided that it would be more fun to act and model.
Of course, like everybody else does.
I had plenty of spare time to then help people decorate their houses, and I was refinishing furniture and helping people choose colors, and then I finally started charging people for the decorating. So it was more decorating than design, and one thing just leads to another. I moved out to Los Angeles in 2002 with my Screen Actors Guild card in my hand, ready to work.
Wow.
And, you know, again, the path changes. And I kind of hopped back into the design arena, went to work for an architecture firm for a while that was also designing furniture, freelance for a bit, ran a lighting store, opened my own store for about 3 years with my then boyfriend.
Okay.
And just this past March, he bought me out of that business.
How about that? So, well, there you go.
And so the wheels keep turning. And with the money, I figured I needed to put it into something fairly soon, or I would have an amazing shoe collection.
Exactly. And no place to put them.
And no place to put them.
Right.
So I put the down payment into the store.
That's fantastic.
And that's where we are now. And I have a couple of really great artists and some really great furniture, and I'm constantly editing the store and moving things around, because as things sell, you sell a coffee table out of the middle of a living room, you have to find something else to put in there, which means
sure
that you have to change that whole living room around. So it's been a lot of fun.
So the look of the store is completely evolving as stuff goes in and goes out and comes back in, and then the same thing's going to happen with your website. So that'll be a constantly changing arena as well. So this is, you know, never a dull moment. And if something really sits there for a long, long time, then you'll probably rework that into some other form to try to get...
Right. Hopefully it's not sitting there for a really long time.
Right.
At that point, I hope it just goes out on rental for a movie.
Oh, there's that too. You can do that as well.
Or a TV show.
Excellent. And so, all right, how's that dog of yours? I've been following the adventures of this dog.
If you are my friend on Facebook.
If you're Lori's friend on Facebook, you know all about Charlotte now. You have a black lab that is just gorgeous.
She's beautiful and crazy.
And she's been a handful, huh?
She's not the world's most well-behaved dog.
Well, when you told me that, you know, to give you credit, I was thinking, wow, if not so well-behaved, she must have adopted it after it was grown up and took it away from some other owners. But you said you've had this dog since she was 8 weeks old. So I said, well, you know, her behavior is a reflection of the owner. So,
But I also may have mentioned that it gets hard to reprimand after you've already laughed.
Right.
And I tend to laugh before I cry.
Right.
And often there is the crying after the laughter, because, you know, I think you may have seen the pictures of the down pillows that she destroyed.
Yeah, and I would think that showroom would be kind of a dangerous place to have her.
It's actually kind of amazing in here. She sort of has the back of the store. She guards the storage area.
Okay.
Which really is just her telling people who come to the back door, oh, no, come in this way.
Right, right, right.
Here's my ball. If you play with me 3 times, I'll show you where the goods are.
But chewing and destroying stuff, and is she over that yet, or
no? Oh, she's over that. I all of my shoes are now intact.
Okay.
And she's really good about not bothering anything in the store. Like right now, she's sitting at my feet.
Ah, what a good girl. And so aside from Charlotte, who are your other partners in the business there? How many other people do you have working with you, and do you want to give some props to a couple of them?
Lori Fridella. She's awesome.
If you don't mind saying so yourself.
I don't. I'm pretty much doing this. Every once in a while, I'll have some friends come in and help me move things around. Often it'll be one of the artists whose pieces I have in the store.
Okay.
Or a piece of furniture from someone that, you know, Chad Hamilton's been a big help. I have a couple of his pieces. But for the most part, it's me. And then after work, sometimes people will come in and for wine, beer, or sometimes food.
So that's what I was going to say. Are you holding little shindigs there as well? You must have had a fabulous grand opening.
I haven't had one yet.
You haven't had one? Okay,
no.
I see. Just kind of.
There will be one, and it'll be a fairly decent party. I'm actually thinking of having a party with a friend of mine who has an acupuncture studio.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You might want to talk to him as well.
Yes, that sounds like it would be a perfect guest to have.
Because he's irreverently humorous, and I kind of love him.
Okay.
His acupuncture studio is called Poke.
Oh.
And I was thinking about having a joint party with him.
Right, or having stores next to each other, so we'd have Poke Mine.
Poke Mine.
All right, well, there you go.
The invitations would be brilliant.
Oh, absolutely, they would be.
And I'm having, in a few weeks, there'll be a wine tasting for a friend of mine who's opening a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that'll be like mine tastings. Who knows? I just think it needs to kind of stay fun and stay light and keep moving.
Well, Lori, I won't keep you too much. You sound like you're tired, and I think you got enough information out about the place. It's a fabulous, it's a very inspiring story. to hear, you know, always when we hear about people getting stuff like this started. I'm sure you're up to date with this. Is one other area I wanted to get into that I forgot about, but the you know, staying up to date in today's world, people getting up there in age like you and
hey,
me.
Hey, you know.
Well, you know, this
1977,
is
1977, right?
Is it Facebook?
That's when I was born.
Well, I was born way before that. Were you really born? Oh, no, never mind. I'm not going to get into that.
No.
Not going to try to get the real answers from
67,
that.
67, I have no problem with it.
No. And, you know, with us that were born in the 60s, how about that? We'll just leave it at that. You know, this Facebook world that we live in is, you know, college age people in their 20s, you know, are dominating that. And we have to kind of stay, you know, involved in that to be relevant in today's business world.
But we're the cool kids.
Yeah, we are. And we're both real young at heart. I'm guessing that you're way hip, like you've got to be like your computer at your store's got to be an Apple, right? No?
It's actually not. It's an HP, simply because I had so much, there was a lot of architecture and design software.
Oh, I see. Yeah, kind of proprietary. I see.
A little bit, yeah. And I just haven't made the switch over. But my phone is Apple.
Okay. All right. Well, that's as I expected from you. I'm sure. No, and you know, real estate people have the same issues too. Some real estate, there's some, I don't know what it is, some universal real estate software that only works on Windows. Yeah, so those people can't get Apples.
I'm actually going to keep this computer for my bookkeeper accountant because apparently QuickBooks is not, it works a little bit better on PC than it does.
Okay, well, there's another reason. Yeah, just keep that one as the business one then.
Yeah. Keep that under your hat, really.
All right, I gotcha. All right, well, that's it from Lori, Fredella, and Charlotte there at mine-la.com. That's their website. You also have a link there on the page for the interview here. If you're on the BillMurphyShow.com website, you can click on these links that we have to get in touch with Lori and her store.
What do you have on there? You have Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.
Well, I've got, you know, those are all different kinds of ways to stay in touch with the show, but I'm also at the bottom of your blurb. We'll have a couple of links to get to your, you know, places to find you and where you're headquartered online, you know. So.
And in days, that will all be up to date. Days, I tell you. Because there isn't enough stuff to do.
No.
Every once in a while, I do get stuck on the Facebook update, which is the Mine page on Facebook is much more up to date than my own website because it's an easy upload for me and it's an easy way for me. Sometimes I'll get something in and I'll just be so excited about it that I have to take a picture of it.
Right.
And get it out there immediately.
Well, the whole idea here is I'm trying to expand and make this show a little more, you know, universal for everybody because we have listeners from all over the country and all over the world. So we wanted to kind of branch out from South Florida. So yeah, all of you LA folk that are hearing the show for the first time, please spread the word. I'm sure Lori's going to post links to the show on her site, and I'll be posting links to hers, and hopefully we'll both get more fans on our respective fan pages.
It's all about how popular we are.
That's it. How popular we are and scratching each other's back. Who has more fans on their fan page? Where are you up to, like 300 or 400 on the Mine?
I think I'm at 269 or 270, but I haven't been up that long.
All right. Well, I know. And in all fairness, I've been up a little longer, and I'm almost at 600. So I've got you beat for now. So we can have a little contest going right now.
Okay.
You'd post on yours that you're trying to get more friends than I am, and I'll do the same, and then we'll check in with each other in a couple of weeks and see how we're doing.
Okay, that sounds good.
Lori Fredella at Mine. That's MINE. Period. Find her on Melrose, 6912 Melrose in LA, and it's so cool to be in touch with. Some LA-based business out there, and we'll be doing more of that in the future. Lori, so good to talk to you, baby.
Bill, thank you.
You got it. Tune in tomorrow for another edition of Music Friday right here. And if you're interested in being a guest or know somebody that would be perfect for this show, get in touch with me at Murph. That's M-U-R-P-H at BillMurphyShow.com. Catch you back here tomorrow.
Log on each weekday for another edition of the Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph at BillMurphyShow.com. That's M-U-R-P-H at BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.